Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Heidi Holton, and this is 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Go to KEXE.org to find playlists, podcasts, and more. We are member-supported radio made possible by people like you.
Hi there. It's time for an hour of story and song. I'm Michael Goldberg, and I wrapped up this radio show just for you. Time to pull the ribbon. Hope you like it. Today on Stay Human, we're looking for the perfect birthday gift and going to a few birthday parties. The rule at my house is there's a 2 or 3 week leeway either way on celebrating the very day. But if yours isn't within that range, we're wishing you a happy birthday anyhow. Storyteller Sue Searing learns something about the golden rule. Doris Kologi finds the perfect birthday gift, and Karen Noyce pretends to be surprised. We'll also hear about some birthday parties turning 6, 12, 19, but we'll start out this birthday edition of Stay Human with best wishes and all respect to Paul Simon celebrating his 83rd birthday this weekend.
Awa, awa, I will try it like a leg on charm. Awa, awa, for the things to win this an arm charm. Awa, awa, Sibona, when say Gaganja. Awa, awa, Amandum Basane.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Diamonds on the soles of the shoes. She's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. and she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I please you, wearing these diamonds." And I could say, "Ooh." Everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Changes clothes and he puts on aftershave to compensate for his ordinary shoes. She said, "Honey, take me dancing," but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, "Ooh." Everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about soles of my shoes, yeah. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of my shoes.
First storyteller today is my friend Doris Kaloji in Chisholm. She told me this story a few years back about her close friend Carla, now dearly missed.
25 years ago, I was looking for a birthday present for my good friend who was going to turn 40. I just needed the perfect gift, and I don't know, I sure as heck wasn't going to bring her a scented candle, let me tell you that. And the 40th birthday was going to be a really big bash. I wanted something super, super special. So I had that in the back of my mind for months, and I was garage sailing. And back in the day, I had little toddlers, and when you go to garage sales, what are you looking for? Of course, children's clothes. And you go to the upscale neighborhoods because you know that they're name brand and they don't have stains on them. So there I was at a garage sale. I walked in and immediately realized there were no children's clothes there. The whole garage was full of kind of expensive designer home decor, like things like marble Easter eggs. You know, I clearly there's nothing in here for me. I'm not going to find children's clothes here. But I kept looking and I spied across the room two crystal balls. And I found myself just attracted to these crystal balls. And I found myself looking at them like a crow looks at something shiny. I just kept thinking, wow, this is really interesting. This is cool. Man, this would be the perfect gift for my friend in Minneapolis. And then I looked and they were $40 a piece. And I could never imagine paying $40 for something at a garage sale. But I looking at them, I was drawn to them. I talked to the woman there and I offered her 30 for one of them. And she kind of mumbled in a very depressed tone something about everything there was way underpriced, and she would never come down on the price, and $40 it was. Well, I bought it for $35. I should have bought both of them. Repeat, I should have bought both of them. But I bought one crystal ball for $35 and I left, and I was so embarrassed that I spent $35 on something at a garage sale. I got home and there's my husband outside working up a sweat, siding our house, vinyl siding. That gives you an idea what our budget was like. I was just embarrassed to let him know that I paid $35 for some little trinket at a garage sale. So I didn't show it to him. I brought it in the house and I said, I got to do something with this miserable thing. And I wrapped it in a towel and I thought, aha, in the perfect container to keep that thing safe. I didn't want to drop it on the floor. It's made of glass. I would break it. I paid $35 for it. So I wrapped it in a towel and I put it in an ice cream bucket with a lid. And I hid it in the back bedroom. Went about my business for the day, and I just kept thinking about that crystal ball. I crept into the back bedroom, and I took it off the shelf. I just wanted to look at it. I was still super embarrassed that I paid $35 for it. So I went to the kitchen table, and I pushed back the mess on the kitchen table, and I set it down in the towel, and I unfolded the towel, and there sat the crystal ball in front of me. And I had my hands folded in my lap and I was looking at it really closely. My face was pretty close to the crystal ball. And I looked at one side of that and I looked at the other side. I thought, oh, my dear friend who is going to have her 40th birthday. I this is it. I did it. This is going to be the coolest gift. She is just eccentric enough that she's going to think that this is so cool. And I'm staring at this crystal ball, still embarrassed that I paid $35 for it. But true story, it just instantly, the towel erupted into a flame. It was burning. It was like poof, and there was a flame. And I just freaked, and I tamped out the flame immediately. I jumped off the chair. I was just freaked. And I ran outside and got my husband and said, come here, you don't understand, something really, really freaky is happening. I get this crystal ball and it just burst the towel into flame, and I'm really scared and I think it's magical. And he stood in the kitchen and didn't miss a beat. Without blinking, he said, well, clearly, you know, the crystal ball acted like a magnifying glass and it focused the light and it just happened to be at the right angle and it just lit it on fire like you would with a magnifying glass. I thought, okay, thanks for mansplaining that, Dr. Science. I don't care what you say. I don't care how scientific this is. This is freaky and there's something going on here. I don't care what anybody says. But okay, he went back outside. Didn't even ask me where I got the crystal ball. Whatever. This is weird. I didn't want to touch this thing. I wrapped it back up in the towel, put it back in the ice cream bucket, sealed it with a lid, put it in the back bedroom, and just didn't touch it. I was kind of afraid to touch it. Came time for my dear friend for her 40th birthday bash in Minneapolis. I say, I have a lot of low friends in high places. She is one of them. And I knew that this birthday party, I knew there would be a lot of influential people, but oh well. And there I was with my ice cream bucket sealed with a lid. And there were some raised eyebrows in the room. And my dear friend said, oh, don't worry about it. She's from the Iron Range. Oh, everybody's like, oh, okay, we get it. Okay, she's from the Iron Range. So the gift comes in an ice cream bucket. She took it, opened it, and loved it. It was the perfect gift. And everybody in the room oohed and awed. And after, you know, a week later, after the dust settled, she and I talked, and there had been a sticker on it, and the sticker was a little bit crumpled. I was going to scrape it off with my thumbnail before I gave it to her, but I left the sticker on it. I didn't know what it meant, something with a B, B-A-C, some sticker. Turns out it is Baccarat crystal. It's worth over $2,000. And I did give her a stern warning that she should not display it near a window, because what if the sun was coming in the window and it started fire, burned her house down? And I'd never forgive myself. Fast forward 25 years. You go into her apartment now, and there it is. There's that $35 crystal ball that I delivered in an ice cream bucket wrapped in a towel. I should have bought them both. I should have purchased them both. So I looked it up this morning, and I never have done this before. I looked it up. I went to that Bacharach crystal site, and there it is. They still sell that exact crystal ball, and it says mystical, elegant crystal ball fills with light to enhance any room, any room. So that means you could take that crystal ball, put it in the outhouse, and it would enhance that room. I'm just saying.
Thanks to Doris Kaloji. A story from Sue Searing. I heard her tell this to a live audience at the Stay Human Storytelling Concert in Big Fork last August. Sue Searing with Do Unto Others.
My mother had a theory about buying birthday presents for other people's children. If the birthday child is a boy, you give them a toy dump truck. All little boys like toy trucks, she told me. And from my vantage point as a 4.5-year-old, this seemed true. However, she said, if the birthday child is a girl, it's more complicated. You should pick out just the right gift for that individual girl. It was the summer of 1955, and I was invited to a little girl's birthday party. Mom decided it was not too early for me to begin learning the feminine skill of gift selection. As we walked through the aisles of Neisner's dime store, she peppered me with questions. What does she usually wear, dresses or petal pushers? Does she wear bows or barrettes in her hair? I don't know. Well, what's her favorite color? I don't know. Does she like dolls? Or is she the kind of girl who likes to play jacks or jump rope? I don't know. Well, Susie, Mom said, you need to pick out something she'll like. So what kind of present will she be happiest to get? I don't know. My anxiety was mounting. I had no idea what this other child would like. And what if I choose the wrong thing? What if she gets mad? What if she hates the present and then she hates me and she tells everyone I'm stupid? Oh, the more upset I got, the harder it was to think rationally about gift options. And my mother got impatient. Well, if you really have no idea what she would like, then pick out something you would like, she told me. Ah, now my Sunday school teacher had told us about the golden rule. Do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. And that seemed to be what Mom was suggesting now. I calmed down, and I soon found the perfect present in the toy section. A watercolor paint set. It was a flat hinged metal box with a picture on the lid of a forest scene with frolicking cartoon animals and birds and butterflies. And in the corners, a blonde-haired boy and a blonde-haired girl standing and painting at easels. Inside, there were two paintbrushes, one thick, one thin, and 10 small cups with dried paint in all the colors of the rainbow. And the smell of that pigment, it was the aroma of anticipation, of all the beautiful pictures that could be created. I knew this was the best present. And Mom said, "Oh, thank goodness." And then we made a quick swing through the stationery department for wrapping paper and a card, went through the cashier line, and walked home. Mom wrapped the paint set, muttering something about what happened the last time she let me near the scotch tape. But she let me pull the ribbed paper ribbon over the edge of the scissors until it formed tight curls. And that transformation always seemed like magic to me. Well, the next day was party day. Mom ironed my prettiest dress, the polka dot one with the puff sleeves, and she put on one of her best dresses, too, a cotton sundress with a notched collar, wide skirt, and wide matching fabric belt. After walking a few blocks, because this was before Mom learned to drive, we walked up a driveway and into a backyard that was festooned with balloons and crepe paper hanging from the clotheslines. Mom set our gift down on a table where the other brightly wrapped packages were already piled, and I ran off to join a half dozen other kids. Off to the side, there were some folding chairs for the mothers and another table on which sat a cake topped with pink frosting and five candles, paper plates, plastic forks and cups, and a big pitcher of Kool-Aid. And then the games began. Now, back then, kids' parties were mostly do-it-yourself affairs. No hired entertainers or catered food, no prearranged trips to the zoo or Chuck E. Cheese, and the bounce house had not yet been invented. Instead, the hostess tied blindfolds on each child in turn, spun us around, and everyone laughed and hollered as we stumbled about and attempted to pin a paper tail on a drawing of a donkey. Next up was a classic game of drop the clothespin in the bottle, which was harder than it looked. But if your wooden clothespin fell straight down through the neck of that glass milk bottle, ka-funk, you won a little trinket. And then there was a raucous game of balloon tag, where we tried to stomp on and break the balloons that were tied to the ankles of the other kids, all the while protecting our own balloons from destruction. Followed by musical chairs, another one of those last one standing competitive games. You know, the way I remember it, all the birthday party games had winners and losers. Because learning to lose gracefully, it was another of the social skills we were supposed to polish at these events. A kid who could play well with others and be a good sport, that kid was being raised right. After the games came the high point of the party for us younger guests, the cake and ice cream. We sang the birthday song, the birthday girl made a wish and blew out the candles, and then we all shoveled in the sugar. Meanwhile, our mother set off to the side, keeping a watchful eye on their offspring. They smoked cigarettes and gossiped and sipped lemonade, which I now realize might have had a little something extra added to it. And finally, the high point of the day for the birthday child herself, opening her presents. The rest of us sat in a ragged semicircle, cross-legged on the lawn, while she sat on a high chair, her legs swinging, a paper crown on her head. One by one, her mother handed the gifts to her. The girl tore at the curled ribbons and ripped off the paper, tossing it to the ground and revealing a doll, a little golden book, a paint set, a new pair of pink socks. It didn't take long at all. And after all the presents were opened, then the party was over. The mothers and the kids paired up again. My mother turned to take my hand to walk home, but I wasn't there at her side. I had run back into the yard, to the table that had held the prettily wrapped and beribboned packages, where now the open gifts were piled, and I returned to her, clutching the paint set. "Susie," she said, "you can't take that. It was a gift." But you said to pick out something I'd like." "Well, yes, but I want it. It's mine." I whined and I wailed, and I would not surrender the paint set. What was I thinking? That girl got so many things and I didn't get anything and it wasn't fair? No, I think I just wanted that paint set so much that I rewrote reality in my mind. I really believed it belonged to me. Meanwhile, the birthday girl sensed that she was no longer the center of attention, so she made a scene of her own and screamed about me stealing her paint set. Well, you know how it ended. I was made to relinquish my treasure and to say I'm sorry to the girl. And my mother apologized profusely to her mother, and we made an awkward exit. All the way home, my mother lectured me about not being selfish. How would you feel, she said, if someone gave you a present and then took it back? The golden rule I learned that day works in the negative, too. Don't do unto others what you don't want them to do to you. I still feel bad about embarrassing my mother, but you know, I wasn't really a selfish kid. Or a mean one. I just reacted to the implicit promise of reciprocity that undergirds the golden rule. Do unto others, and they will do unto you. What goes around comes around. Give a paint set, get a paint set. Now, as a grown-up, I understand that the payoff for trying to act in an empathetic and ethical way isn't always immediate. It's more like karma. And today, I enjoy picking out just the right gift for a friend and seeing that spark of delight in their eyes when I give it to them for keeps.
Thanks to Sue Searing. You can hear more of her original and traditional tales at her website, SueSearing.com. Here's a song from Chris Smithers. His 80th birthday is in just a few weeks, not too soon to celebrate.
Surprise, surprise, you waiting still. important. They ain't what you think they are. They'll wear you down with worry, then say close but no cigar. It's a court of common problems. Don't bet the farm on getting them on my own. By the time you get them straightened out, surprise, surprise, you underground. By the time you get them straightened out, surprise, surprise, you underground.
Chris Smithers. We have a couple of much more welcome surprises coming up in this hour of Stay Human on KAXE, broadcasting at 91.7 megahertz and streaming at kaxe.org. Our program service is supported by the financial and creative contributions of our listeners. Please join us at kaxe.org. This weekly mix of story and song receives additional support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, part of our state's legacy funds.
Well, I seen you in a sadness. I seen you when you'd hope to die. I heard you say, well, it's raining all over the world. What did I tell you? What did I say? One more day. And I seen you with your head low, face down on the ground. I heard you say, well, you're lost and you couldn't be found. And what did I tell you? What did I say? And next thing you're shining right back at the sun, blowing right back at the wind, roaring right back at the ocean, and nothing's gonna do you in. Give it one more day. One more day. Just when you think that's gone, give it one more day.
Brothers for Spirit and Courage. I made a new friend a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I had met her when she was about 3 years old, but met up for the first time with her as an adult at Sarah's Table at Chester Creek in Duluth. Hillary Paris. I told her I was going to make a radio show about birthdays, and she told me about this one.
My son turned 6 recently, and we threw this big party for him. And you know what's so funny is we didn't have very many kids coming. His best friend couldn't be there because he had croup. So we go, well, do you want to invite any of your classmates? And he goes, invite the whole class. So I made an invitation for 27 kids, It went from being 3 kids to 16 kids in one night because I invited them all. But we had a big Nerf battle. They love the guns, the fake guns. And my ex-husband, their dad, bought a thousand Nerf bullets and all these safety glasses, which, you know, we've decided to collectively be done with gift bags. So now I just do really like practical stuff. So safety glasses, everybody got to take home. And then we had a animal balloon guy come. My mom found him. He was 16 years old from New Zealand and he lives near my mom. So she hired him and they love that. And it was a beautiful sunny day, 60s. It could have been torrential downpour. We didn't know. We got really lucky. And the kids, Eli had a great time. There wasn't a dull moment. I did a breakfast bar, so I did donuts and bagels and all kinds of delicious breakfast foods, and it was a late morning party, so it was a good time. It was probably my favorite birthday of his and his favorite birthday of his in his 6 years of life on this planet. There's a big birthday happening this year. I'm going to be 40. I feel like I'm in my 20s, so that's great. But I feel a little different this year about being 40 and what I previously thought I was going to want, which is a big party with a bunch of people. Turns out, as I age, I want to be around fewer and fewer people. I was just telling my dad when we were on this trip to the Boundary Waters how I really enjoy just being alone or being with fewer people or being with people that I can go deep with instead of wide with. So I don't have any plans for my 40th. Normally I'd be planning a big party in Seattle with every single person I know, just like the whole city. But this year I want to go to a new place somewhere across the world. I only have 1 week because I co-parent with my kid's dad. So I get 1 week. 1 week, the first week in December. And I really hope my boyfriend's planning something because he's a pilot, so we have some options. I'm thinking somewhere tropical, like maybe Puerto Rico or Cuba or somewhere that's got a really rich culture that I can explore with. And honestly, I'd be really happy if it was just him and I, and maybe have a little dinner with some close friends at home. And I feel content about that. And it was a big surprise because I'm generally a very social person. So.
Well, I'm hoping that he's planning a surprise. If he surprises you and won't tell you the destination, but says pack for everything.
I love that. We love surprises.
Thanks to Hillary Paris. I hope she gets the surprise that she's expecting. My friend Art Norton invited me to a surprise party for his wife, Karen Noyce, not long ago. He sent a text, and I had to reply that we would not be around that weekend, so sorry. But was there any chance that she would see the messages on his phone? It's not easy to pull off a surprise.
This came about because Karen is about to have one of those big birthdays with it end with a 0, 7, 0. How could that possibly be? And as sometimes happens, fortuitously, our grown-up daughter, Emily, called me up and said, "Dad, Mom's birthday, when is it? It's coming up soon, right?" And she said, "We should do a surprise party." And I was at the other end of the phone. I was stunned. I thought, gosh, can I organize a surprise party? And she encouraged me. And then I thought, well, Emily is a good planner. So, and it's her idea. So, yeah, let's run with this. And I did a little looking as to where we might have this party. And what do you know? There's this brand new fun bistro and drinking place in Coleraine called the Ravenstone Abbey. It has just opened up. They've recreated this medieval scene and with their place, and they have axe throwing. And I thought, wouldn't this be fun? And so we started to plan a surprise party for Karen.
And were you surprised?
Yes. How can I say otherwise? But there'd been a few little
little things that seemed a little odd, and a few little hints, like somebody had felt like they had to bake a cake, and in our house, there's not a lot of place to bake a cake surreptitiously. So there was that. And there were a number of little... Suddenly, Art would get a phone call and leave the room. And I could tell he was talking to our daughter just by the tone of voice. I don't know, there's something about the way you talk to your kid on the phone. So I had a clue something was up, and I knew Emily was coming up, Emily and Jasmine, our granddaughter. So there were a few hints, and then they wanted to just take me out somewhere, but they didn't tell me where. So, yeah. But when I got there, yeah, it was a great surprise. Who was there? Is, you know, friends that I don't see very often. And boy, when we got into the axe throwing, I wanted to just shut everybody out and just throw it and throw it and throw it until I could get it to stick to that darn wall. I got it to stick twice. Yeah. But it's addicting. Wonderful food, wonderful company. It's a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Way back in the 1980s, my wife Gail and I had a Saturday morning routine of trying to make each other laugh at breakfast, then drop the kids off at the babysitter's, drive into Grand Rapids, pick up that day's copy of the Duluth News Tribune at the corner gas station, unlock the door at KAXE's studios, at that time located in a cramped classroom at the campus of the community college, one of us flipping through the newspaper, finding silly things to talk about, news of the weird or advice columns, the latest things some scientist said we should or shouldn't eat, while the other ripped the weather report off the teletype machine, checked for any northern Minnesota news that listeners might actually need to hear, which was usually only the weather, and dutifully logged, as was then required throughout the broadcast day by the Federal Communications Commission, the readings of output from the radio transmitter in Trout Lake Township. Rush into the record library, find some music, maybe something related to at least one of the silly things we had found to talk about, and then minutes before 10 a.m., scoot into the studio, headphones on, agree on how we'd start the show, laugh along with the outro credits of Car Talk. Our complaint line manager is Xavier Breath, transportation coordinators pick up and drop off, and our legal counsel from Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Mics on, legal ID, weather, program intro, still trying to make each other laugh, and then...
The ground beneath my feet, I know was made for me. There is no any one place where I belong. My spirit's meant to be free, and soon now everyone will see. Life was made for us to be what we want to be. And if it's your world, it's yours and yours and yours. That fill my mind are a very special kind, because they're home to me and me alone. And then I realize that we all have a home inside. It was meant for us to be what we want to be. And it's your world, it's yours and yours and yours and what you see. What not meant for me is your world.
We co-produced It's Your World every week for about 5 or 6 years. I loved being on the air with her, so much so that I wrote her a poem that included the line, I love being on the air with you, and also the line, I love being on the ground with you. It was an okay poem, but I read it to her on the radio, which made sense to me, but made her feel too exposed. The poem was far too private to her to be able to enjoy it out in public. Sorry, Gail. After that, I knew better. But I hope you still have that poem tucked away somewhere, because it's still true. One Saturday morning show fell on the 13th of October, her birthday. So the week before, I called all the friends I could think of and invited them to surprise her at the studio during our two-hour show. It was fun for me and for the folks who stopped in, but not for the birthday girl. She just couldn't toggle back and forth between her private self and her public radio self. Plus, maybe by family heritage, she just doesn't like to be the center of attention. Afterwards, I promised I would never throw her a surprise party again, and I never have. Until now. Sorry, Gail, but happy birthday.
Well, Gail was probably about 10 years old when I left, I would guess. And I was essentially gone for 60 years. I saw her a few times, but this time, my arrival now is the first time I've been here in 25 years. So it's been kind of a spotty relationship. I'm a little surprised at what a confident woman she's become. She was a quiet little girl with four brothers in a small house when we were kids. Happy birthday, Gail. It's so nice to be around you again, and I hope we get like 35 more of these.
Happy birthday, Grandma. We all love you, and hope you have a great birthday.
Happy birthday, Gail.
Happy birthday, Grandma. You've been great, Grandma, and so have you, Grandpa.
Gail, happy birthday. When my wife and I, Gail, were in the Cook Islands, we were there during Christmas time, and there were stormy seas, and the ship was stuck out at sea, and all the Christmas presents were on the ship for the entire island. And there was one radio station and one announcer, and this is what he said every day. Happy, happy birthday!
I have a haiku for Gail. I don't know if you'll be able to tell it's a haiku out loud, but here's a haiku for Gail. A lover of life, of people, travels, and dogs. Happy birthday, Gail. Gail, the picture that I've sent you is, I know, your very favorite painting that you saw in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and I didn't want you to forget it.
Greetings from Gary Otteson, Jaden Otteson Goldberg, Greg Otteson, Natalia Otteson Goldberg, Dan Paris, and Frida Hall. I also called one of Gail's longest-time friends, Deb Fredrickson, celebrating her birthday on the same day as Gail's.
You know, I do know people, I have friends, relatives, who are not wild about having a birthday. And I've never understood that. As I get older, maybe I understand it a little better. Oh, no, I don't want to think about a birthday. No more birthdays, you know. And then we start counting backwards or reverse it, which, in that case, I'll be 37 in October for my birthday. So I kind of look at it like I'm really fortunate to be alive and to have almost 73 birthdays. It's something really wonderful to celebrate. And plus, we can eat something really gooey and really kind of like a taboo. I'd like to just say that my mother was particularly wonderful at throwing parties for all of us, especially when we were little. She would generally bake 3 or 4 9x11 cakes, and then she would carve and sculpture those and make all kinds of things. You know, for my younger brothers, they got really nice trains, choo-choo trains with all the different cars. I had a brother who was really into motorcycles. She did this whole thing on top of the cake with the motorcycle and the racing track and trees and all this kind of stuff. She was very creative. And one of my favorite birthdays, actually, your wife, Michael, was involved with, Gail. Gail and I have the same birthday. When we turned, I think it was 12, I had, along with her, we had a dress-up party. So we invited all of our friends over, and the whole thing was dressing up. And I remember I was a gypsy, and I wore my mom's, she had these ruffly black slips, and I wore them. I layered them, and I wore them as like a gypsy skirt. It was way fun. jewelry, all that kind of stuff. And so I don't remember how many of my girlfriends were over, but there were several, because I remember my mom, she was heavily into filming 8mm, doing a shot of all of us standing out in front of the house, kicking our legs up and having a good old time. You know, it's an achievement. It's an occasion. It's a special occasion. And so we share that, Gail and I share that special occasion with AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Paul Simon, Marie Osmond, Margaret Thatcher, and then, of course, beloved Lenny Bruce, the profane human that walked among us. And then last but not least, my good dear best friend Gail Audison Goldberg. I am 10 hours older than her, so I figure that makes me about 10 IQ points ahead of her as well. So this is for Gail and myself. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to Gail, and happy birthday to you and many more. Happy birthday to everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Deb. Happy birthday, everyone. And here's a thing about living with someone you love for close to 50 years. You both get older at about the same rate. And so we've grown around each other, intertwined like the woodbine growing up an old crabapple tree. Thee and me and us makes three. I don't want to embarrass you on the radio, but I just can't keep from celebrating you. So grateful to hold you on this birthday and all the other trips around the sun. Here we are, still spinning, still grounded, still growing together this morning and tomorrow too. Happy birthday, love. My thanks to everybody on today's show and to you for tuning in to Stay Human. If you are listening at home, I'd like you to help me celebrate Gail's birthday now by opening up your windows wide and turning the volume way, way up for a song that was recorded on her 19th birthday and still golden.